No, it isn't physical survival. And remember that the identity is often not physical. A lot of the time, people are not identifying themselves as their body. As a matter of fact, most of the time, people aren't identifying themselves as their body. As a matter of fact, most of the time, people are totally unaware of their body. So mostly, you and I are identifying ourselves as a set of principles. And you will die for your principles. Literally, by the way. In fact, if this were a different setting, I would say bad things if it were a different setting. And I would tell the truth. So I would say that you've already died for your principles. And it's only by giving up your principles that you can come alive.
Or the old sounds of
Yes. It's funny. So my point is that all the behavior is merely harmonics of instinctual behavior. See, like Gregory Bateson says, what the hell is an instinct? It's when you don't know what else to call it, you call it an instinct. That's where science stops. Excuse me.
And trying
to describe it to someone, it's
really impossible. Have you
ever
thought
about this? Yes. What's happening here? And you people hear the question back there.
Terrific.
Beautiful. Yes, the question was, what's his name? Jerry noticed that if she focuses on a thing for a moment, you go away and come back, and then after a while, she can't describe it. I mean, she doesn't know where it is. See, you're having an experience called looking at me, yes? Don't be too sure. I would like you to point to where the experience is taking place. Somebody do that. Some work. Great. Point to where it is. Thank you. Now, what Jerry just did was to point to that place which we all agree the experience must be taking place. And so you answer the question on the level of knowing called belief. Now I'd like to go way out to another level of knowing called observation, or way over there, or way down there. It's a different level. Now I'd like you to observe, let's do a little geometry here. Point in the general direction of the event called Werner. Great. And point in the general direction of the event called Jerry. Good. Now, point in the general direction of the event called I experience Werner. Yes. There's no place.
Yeah, sure.
You can't point because further they must be here. But then if you will actually observe your own experience, you will see that you're not experiencing here. See, sight, as everyone knows who's done any studying, is the function of the brain back here. It's an electrochemical event in the visual cortex, right? I mean, you all know that, don't you? Or you do. But there's not anybody in here who has any sensation in the visual cortex at all. Brains don't have sensations. You see, they're notoriously insensitive. So it's a hell of a theory if that's what you're saying. And it's very apropos of its own system of logic called physiology. But I don't know if it has anything to do with the truth of your experience. So, you see, what we're talking about is this confusion between experiencing and non-experiencing. First of all, and Jerry, what you asked is incredibly important in terms of the value of this information. Anything here is non-experiencing. Only here is experiencing. If you can get what I said, and you've got the courage to take a look at yourself, you will see that you almost never experience anything. That what you do, in fact, is non-experience. Because almost invariably, what is going on is a form, which you can describe. Well, if it's got a form which you can describe, it's over here. Then over here. So what you're attempting to do is to describe something you are not experiencing. Now, if you've decide that what you were doing was describing something that you weren't experiencing. Then it's not so hard to get that it doesn't happen someplace, you know? Because you're not experiencing it, so you don't have to happen someplace. Actually, if you look at it, it will go for the pain will go away. Like that. Because we're looking at another part of the pattern. You see, there's the possibility that the rolfer induces the pain which was resisted. And that when the pain which was resisted, by the way, a resisted pain is recorded. If you've got a pain that you resisted, that pain will be recorded. The degree to which you resist the pain is the degree to which it will be recorded. If you complete your experience of the pain, there's no record of it. And therefore, nothing to roll. So the rolfer may be reactivating the record of a pain which you've refused to experience and allowing you to experience it. And in allowing you to experience it, this is another theory about why it might work. I mean, we all know it works, or those of us who have experienced it, we know that it works. This is a possibility about why it works. You know, perhaps it's the discharge of the pain which is being resisted. Which discharge allows the body to go back into fight? Because the body no longer has to resist the experience of the pain. So it may be that, see, people talk about pain withdrawal. I have a problem with that, you see. Because my notion is that what you're there for is to allow the pain to be discharged. See, pain, everybody knows pain is bad, right? Well, everybody knows that, so it must be true. I mean, everything everybody knows is true. So anyway, that's why it's perhaps difficult to describe. If you take responsibility for observing your experiences, you can actually describe them very accurately. But remember, you're always describing the record. Experience itself cannot be described. It happens out of time, and words happen in time. Experience is timeless. It has nothing to do with the mind. Happens. The mind is a part of that. By the way, that's the thing that I wanted to say, kind of to wrap this thing up. You see, the mind exists in this open universe. We could say that the being was the open universe, and that the mind was a closed universe. And that the function of the mind is to put everything down pat to prove it, and do it again, and do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again, and make sure you knew what you were being agreed with and not being agreed with, especially by life. Must resist life at all costs and doesn't agree with it. Some people do. We've got some more questions to ask. Yes.
When you talk about discharging behavior, we're making the assumption, or you're making the assumption, that we're talking about negative patterns of behavior, and then you talk about when the rolfer gives you the there always seems to be an assumption in the great Southern California human growth potential movement that all growth is towards becoming better and better. Somebody once talked about growing to become a better and better criminal. And I'm even wondering if perhaps after the rolfing, and you've lost those patterns, why is there the assumption that those are, number one, negative patterns, and number two, that you can deal then with the loss of the patterns?
Right.
You're not kind of, you know, supposedly you're kind of structurally integrated and your feet are flat on the ground and your head is, you know, up here. But I feel very strongly from my own experience that's not necessarily true. And there's kind of sort of a, I felt like I, some things happened to me that, you know, weren't supposed to have happened.
Great. Yeah. Well, it's a really rich question. I want to talk about it from a couple of different points of view. First of all, I
you get the question about
yeah.
I just wanted to be
sure. Yeah, very good, thank you. First of all, it's my own personal view that getting better stinks. Because it invalidates where you are.
And that being where you are seems to work, because if you are where you are, the next moment you are where you are, and then you are where you are, and you are wherever you are, you know, that's the way it is anyhow. So there's no sense kicking and screaming about the way it is. So I don't ever try to make people better. I consider people to be perfect the way they are. And my notice, my observation is that as soon as they realize that they're all right the way they are, they do get better, automatically, without doing anything. So I'm sympathetic with your position, number one. Number two, there is no such thing as a negative pattern or a positive pattern. All patterns are mechanical and therefore anti-being. There are no good patterns. Spontaneity as compared to mechanicalness. Your choice. I know how to act with Jerry because I have something which I've done with women ever since I've met them, and it's always worked. Now I've got that alternative, and then I will go away and I will know how Jerry will feel about me, because I know how women, because I've done it, you know, I know how to do it. But I've denied myself the experience of Jerry. I have absolutely no notion of who she is. I've had no direct experience of her, nor have I had any direct experience of myself in relation to her. So now I don't know who she is, I don't know who I am. But I know who I was. And boy, I love it. I mean, who I was, you know. Gotta hold on to who I was, because it worked. So if you want to know who you were, you create patterns. If you want to know who you are, you give up your patterns. Giving up patterns is frightening, because it attacks your survival. You will be attacked as you give up your patterns, until you discover that you are not your patterns. As you discover you are not your patterns, you give up your patterns, will easily, no problem. I have a difficulty because I don't. There are people that I know who, when raw, are able to do raw things with very little pain. Not because the pain is avoided, but because the pain is accepted. And the raw that they're working with gives them the space to experience the pain. There's no avoiding the pain. There's no unconsciousness about the pain. The person is given the opportunity to experience the pain as fully as possible. Do you know how long it takes to experience the pain? Zero time. It takes forever not to experience it. Experience does not happen in time, therefore there is no persistence in experience. There's only persistence in non-experience. And it's also very dangerous to tell people about it, because then they go out and pretend to be dancing, which is worse than not knowing about it. You see, essentially we're pretty screwed up. I mean, incredibly screwed up. Like, we're so screwed up, you haven't got any idea how screwed up we are. People read the Quran and says, does the shame man have to die before he wakes up? People say, I'm awake, look at me. See, I'm moving, I'm doing everything. All that's happening. Hell, it's totally asleep. People can't get that, so they're smug and arrogant, you know. And they're cool. And they're It's, you know, it's a very funny thing. People talk about enlightenment.
They're very serious about enlightenment.
Nobody ever seems to notice that enlightenment means to lighten up. You can't be heavy about enlightenment. That ain't it. Yes. Thank you. Okay, think of some questions. Otherwise, I'm going to sit here and stare at you. Just thank you. Yes.
You said a thing about you have experienced the wrong, and that you found out the wrong works. I don't know if that's true. I don't think so. I think we find out if we were.
Yes. I agree.
Yeah, you've come wrong. I can say yes, wrong, and correct.
No, you can't. Neither can I. And I agree totally and absolutely with what you said. And it's almost dangerous to say it any other way because it's a lie. It really belies the truth about it all. I mean, it's really true that you and I work when we discover ourselves. And the role thing is one of those things which has enabled me to discover some more of myself. Yeah, very well said. Thank you for cleaning that up.
Another thing you said about the pain, that there is a pain. Well, in the wrong experience, I don't necessarily know that that all just falls in very deeply as being pain. Gave me laying there and go, oh yeah, that's pain, right? And just very cleanly say, okay, yeah, take that as pain. But I don't think that's true either. I think there's just these incredibly intense sensations that we've never been in touch with.
Pain is a very inaccurate word. The accurate word, if you get very technical about it, is impact. It's however kind of loosely called pain. And pain's not a bad word. I'll tell you why it's a bad word. Because semantically, it's wired up to be something you resist. And that's what you want to know about pain, is that it is something, what it means to be in pain is to be resistant. See, pain equals resistance. That ain't bad. To be aware.
Wonder, could we get you back here near the microphone, please?
Yes.
Just to check your tail.
Yes. He was yes.
When you talked about the two columns there, you made it seem that once an event gets lodged in a column, it stays in that column and can't switch over. Well, for example, say a kid gets bitten by a dog. Later on, he hits a dog for his head. Becomes close to that dog. Wouldn't it be possible that the event of being bitten by the dog, which would be start up in the pain column, go over to the not necessary column?
Very important question. Yes and no. And let me explain. Training the person to overcome the pattern only buries the pattern. You now have the pattern plus the pain to overcome it. Like, if you get somebody to diet who's fat, they get thin. They are now a fat person who's thin. If you get a dope and send them to school, what you get is an educated dope. Which is essentially what our educational system is designed to produce. It is designed to produce people, I mean this very sincerely, our educational system is not designed to produce the experience of intelligence. It is designed to produce the evidence of intelligence. And those two things are entirely different. The pretense, as a matter of fact, is destructive. Because one always knows how stupid one is. If no place else. At least in turn. let me say this, that you can get an experience from one side to the other. You know how you get it there? By experiencing it. Not by non-experiencing it. Remember, any form is a non-experience. That's a long discussion. I won't get into that one. What was the other question there, quickly?
You said something about intelligence. How would you define intelligence?
The experience of being smart. The experience of being okay, of being adequately informed, of knowing. I would define intelligence as the experience of knowing.
Yeah.
And I would define it even perhaps a little bit more precisely than that by saying that intelligence is the ability to order information in degrees of importance. Almost nobody can do it. You see, it's just now getting to be maybe all right. little bit in school for people to learn about themselves.
But not much.
Because that's not too important. I mean, that's incredible, you know? Really, that's incredible. The question, who am I, is not asked in school. See, it's very interesting to come up with a note. It's very interesting to come up with something which is fairly new or people haven't heard much about it. Because the first whatever you probably think, that's crazy. See, any information which is delivered to you for which you don't have a question is crazy. Like Einstein was considered to be crazy because nobody asked any questions that relativity was the answer to. So there was no experimental data which needed relativity. The experimental data can answer relativity. That's unusual in science. The science usually develops some experimental data and says, hey, we can't explain that with our old theory, so we'll come up with a new theory. Well, Einstein came up with a new theory, nobody asked the question. So obviously it was crazy. And so if you come up with something new, people consider it to be crazy at first. Then, so if you come up with something people think is crazy, maybe you may be on to something. Then secondly, people, once they do ask the question, will say, well, obviously. I mean, everybody knows that. See, as soon as they find that there's a question to your stuff, then what you're saying is obvious. I mean, you never said it wasn't obvious, you know, but now it's become obvious, and so they say obviously. So if people are saying that what you say is obvious, you're probably onto something. Then finally, you will hear it from them. What I discovered is, then you're a success. But you see, it's that way. Because any material which I have is worthless to you until you have it as yours. So it is the height of acknowledgement to have somebody tell you your thing. Man, you've made it then. And tell it to you as your own. That's a beautiful compliment for somebody to tell you one of your own things as their own discovery. Because the only way that you ever really deliver it is as their own discovery. So you can sit back, take credit for everything, and say. And it all goes on beautifully, like it always has.
You said that pain does not happen in time, but a record of pain happens in time.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't actually say that, but that's close enough. I may have to clean it up if you're asking a hard question. I just want to put that in there.
If you have a toothache for 2 hours, it does happen in fourth dimension, which is time. Now, unless you say that, you know, there's no past and present, there's a continuous, no past and future, continuous present, and try on this level.
No, I'm going to say even more blatantly than that, even more unacceptably than that. I am going to tell you that for 2 hours you did not experience the pain at all. That for 2 hours you resisted the experience of pain and did not experience the pain. That what you and I call pain is not pain. That is truth. What you and I call pain is not an experience. It is a rerun of a record of an experience.
But this experience has to happen at that time. The first pain.
Bear with me for a moment. We'll go out to Google physics here quickly, okay? The present does not exist between the past and the future. See, the hip culture missed on that one. The present exists out of time. See, tell me what's happening right now. You can't. Because it doesn't exist. Not in time. It exists out of time. So now, let me do a quick little thing here with you. Let's let that table be the future. This is the present, and over there is the past. Got that? Now that's time, isn't it? Time is composed of past, present, and future. Everybody got that? Does anybody want to argue with that? Have you ever stopped to think about it? Time is actually, I always stop to think about it, so it takes a few for the moment, take my word. Think about it when you get home. Take my word for it for now. Time is composed of past, present, and future. That's what time is, past, present, future. So the past is back there then, the present is here and now, terrific, the new in thing, the here and now, and the future is out there then. So the past is back there then, the future is out there then, and here is now. See? So you aren't paying, you're watching me, I'm doing a demonstration, so you aren't going to get it. Past is back there. See, all the way back there, right here, this is the past right here, you see? And the future is all the way out there. So you're watching me. I want you to watch out there, right here. Right here. This is the future right here. And that's the present back there, right over here. You see, it's obvious that when you get there, it's going to be now. You ain't never been any place but now. Have you? So if you ain't ever been any place but now, how do you know time exists? You know, for one reason, your mind tells you so. It is the linearity of the arrangement of the records which creates the illusion of time. No one has ever experienced time. It cannot be experienced. It's unexperienceable. It's an illusion. And so, when I say that if you suffer for 2 hours with a toothache, you are not experiencing pain. I mean, you aren't experiencing pain. I don't mean you don't have pain. I mean, I can dig that you have pain. And you have pain because you aren't experiencing the pain. If you experience pain, pain disappears like that. That'd be interesting. I'll do a thing with the pie or something about it. You know, do it. You don't really make pain disappear. I mean, you literally feel it easily. Like that. The problem is, I mean, everybody knows that, take a pill, and the pain goes away. Except what you've done is to suppress the pain. Then it's possible to express the pain. And in rolling, you get to express the pain. You get to express the behavior which you stopped, which you're holding on to, which you won't let out. Terry thinks her body stops here. But I'll tell you what, you close your eyes and tell me where the end of your body is. And don't tell me where the end of your body is, you think the end of your body is. Tell me where the end of your body is experientially.
Why is it that when the body, I'll say something. Sometimes I feel like my body is totally disintegrated, okay? I've had experiences where my body is totally disintegrated. Is it because of the threat of survival, or the not knowing that you get afraid of that?
Will you repeat these questions as they come so we can get it on the mic?
Yes. The question is, what's your name?
Patsy.
Patsy said that she's experienced her body disappearing, disintegrated, she said. And she says, is it because of the threat to our survival that we can't, that we have to pull it back? I mean, move, do something, do anything. Yes, pull back into it. Yes, precisely. You see, until you've experienced yourself beyond your stuff, you think that you are your stuff.
Right.
Boy, if I lose my stuff.
Who am I?
Yes, exactly. See, I have a kind of little thing I say to people. People say, well, I am not my stuff. I say, good, we're going to take a sledgehammer, we're going to try to find, we're going to beat your automobile flat. And I promise you, they begin to experience a loss if you let them get smaller and smaller. Like hell, we aren't our stuff. Excuse me, right there.
You described the mind as keeping linear records. Are these records linear because they take place in time, which time is linear?
Yeah.
Will you repeat the question?
Yes, the question is. But this whole work about the hard enough answering. The question is, I said to the mind stores the records linearly. And is it that the mind stores them linearly because of time? And the answer is yes, if it isn't the other way around. It may be that our experience of time, or I should say our non-experience of time, is linear because the records are sort of linear.
Okay.
So if you took the records, you would think that light was, but you think the light is because the records go.
Okay, you see,
not recorded at all. There is no record of it. What there is very complicated to explain because it is, but I'll tell you anyhow, I just want to explain it. What there is nothing, that nothing from which something can be created. So anytime you experience something, there is nothing, the nothing from which something can be created. Whenever you don't experience something, you have a record of it. And that is something from which nothing can be created, from which you can only produce change or lies or the world. There it is. See it all for yourself, yes.
I'm curious about whether it's possible to look at something with several